WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 48 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny today, a high of 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In area news, sheriff's officials in Montgomery County say no injuries were reported following an accident Thursday morning in Villisca. Vehicles driven by 37-year-old Nico Marie Hensley and 51-year-old Douglas Lyle Schenck, both of Villisca, collided at around 7:15 a.m. at the intersection of North 3rd Avenue and 1st Street when Hensley failed to see Schenck's vehicle approaching and pulled out from the intersection after having stopped at the stop sign. Damage from the collision amounted to $5,500. Hensley was cited for failure to obey the stop sign. News time is 8:01.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Authorities in Montgomery County say a Villisca man was arrested Thursday afternoon. 23-year-old Charles Albert Mace, Jr. was arrested at around 12:40 p.m. on charges of providing false information to a peace officer and driving while suspended. Mace was booked in the Montgomery County Jail but later released on $300 cash bond. A couple from Adams County was arrested Wednesday night for violating a court order. Sheriff's officials say 65-year-old Ronald Corey and 59-year-old Barbara Corey, both of Corning, were taken into custody at around 9:10 p.m. after authorities responded to a call from Ronald Corey indicating that he was at his wife's residence. The court had issued a new no-contact order barring contact between the couple. Ronald Corey was arrested for violating a no-contact order, while Barbara Corey was arrested for aiding and abetting a no-contact order. The couple was being held without bond in the Adams County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. A man from Pennsylvania has entered pleas of guilty to three felony charges stemming from the robbery of a bank in Guthrie County. The Guthrie Center Times reports 29-year-old Wayne Eugene Palmer Jr. of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, admitted to his role in the May 20th robbery in Stewart of the First State Bank. The man appeared in court this past Monday. Palmer's accomplice, 20-year-old Hannah Reisinger, photographed in a distinctive green dress and red wig, made off with just over $3,000 in the robbery. She's also agreed to a plea bargain, but has not officially done so in court. Palmer told the judge Monday that he and Reisinger hadn't decided where exactly to commit a robbery until reaching Stewart and driving around town. According to Palmer, they were en route to California to, quote, get married, but Guthrie County Attorney Mary Benton told the paper Palmer was already married with a wife and children in Pennsylvania. Palmer and Reisinger were later apprehended in Los Angeles. And in a plea deal with Benton, Palmer pled guilty to robbery in the second degree, going armed with intent and being a felon in possession of a firearm. He was originally charged with robbery in the first degree, which carries a 25-year prison term. The second degree conviction carries a mandatory 10-year prison term, and the other two offenses carry 5-year sentences. All will be served consecutively for a total of 20 years. Palmer admitted the robbery was his idea. Palmer, who was paroled from a Pennsylvania prison in 2011 on two other robbery convictions, was still on parole when the Stewart robbery was committed. He had served 10 years on those prison sentences. But once Palmer's sentence is completed in Iowa, Benton said that he will be transferred back to Pennsylvania to serve 6 years remaining on the previous convictions. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a woman from Pottawatomie County Thursday morning. 25-year-old Angela Marie Silvera of Council Bluffs was arrested at around 7:30 a.m. Thursday on a Pott County warrant, or rather on a warrant for failure to appear on driving under suspension charge related to violation of liability coverage. Silvera was being held in the Mills County Jail on $800 bond. The Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet next hour at the courthouse in Greenfield, and during their meeting, the board will canvass the votes from Tuesday's school board election. In other business, they'll hear from County Auditor Mindy Shaver with regard to the fiscal year 2013 State Tax Increment Financing, or TIF, report, along with the credit card policy and abatement of taxes. At 9:30, County Engineer Nick Kaufman will present a DOT resolution to add local TIF projects to the current budget year, a fiscal year 2014 budget amendment, along with his regular activity and maintenance report. The board will also discuss and or act on an EMS grant contract, a child abuse prevention grant drawdown, taxable meals, and other matters. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports they've taken a pledge to keep tobacco out of the hands of Montgomery County youth. Iowa Pledge, or iPledge for short, is a partnership with the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division, or ABD, to educate local retailers and to enforce Iowa's tobacco laws. Officials say the program has helped to increase statewide tobacco compliance to a rate of 93% since it began in the year 2000. By partnering with the ABD, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office said it will do its part to continue that upward trend. Clerks who successfully complete an online training program and pass an exam will be iPledge certified, and the retail establishment will receive an affirmative defense against a civil penalty if the clerk makes an illegal sale. To take the training or search iPledge certification records, you can go to the link under this same story on our website at KJAN.com. Officials say the iPledge retailer program is a great way for clerks to prepare themselves to refuse illegal tobacco sales. As part of the iPledge program, deputies will be conducting compliance checks on local establishments in Montgomery County. Criminal penalties resulting from the sale of tobacco to a minor during the unannounced checks using underage customers include fines from $100 for the first offense to as much as $500 for third and subsequent offenses. Sheriff Joe Sampson says handing out citations is not the intent of the iPledge program. He says the hope is to educate clerks and maintain a compliant retail environment in communities within Montgomery County. More importantly, according to Sampson, is that the pledge is to help keep tobacco out of the hands of Iowa youth. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on Thursday announced funding for projects in seven states to improve electric service for about 7,000 rural customers. Rural Utilities Service Administrator John Padolino made the announcement on the Secretary's behalf during a regional meeting of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. The loan guarantees are made through the Rural Utilities Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development. They include more than $5 million for smart grid projects and nearly $3 million to help improve electric service for Native Americans. In Iowa, the Farmers Electric Cooperative Incorporated, based in Greenfield, will receive $10 million. Those funds will be used to serve 305 customers, building 273 miles of distribution line and making other system improvements. The loan includes $60,000 for smart grid projects. And the Southwest Iowa Rural Electric Cooperative, based in Stanton, is receiving $6 million. The funds will be used to serve 336 customers, build 133 miles of distribution line, and make other system improvements. The loan includes $145,711 for smart grid projects. Officials say altogether, more than $136 million in USDA loan guarantees will help to build more than 2,200 miles of lines, fund more than $5 million in smart grid projects, and make other system improvements. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, the police chief in Boulder, Colorado, says things are looking better this morning, but conditions remain dangerous. Late last night, warning sirens blared, and city officials urged about 4,000 people living along Boulder Creek to leave their homes. The chief says the creek has now dropped from its peak flow, but he's shocked at the amount of water still flowing into the streets. At least three people have been killed by flooding around the state. Americans bought more cars, furniture, and electronics in August, but held back spending on most other retail purchases. The Commerce Department says spending in retail businesses rose 0.2% last month, the smallest gain in 4 months. Excluding volatile spending on autos, gas, and building supplies, sales increased 0.2%, less than half of July's 0.5% gain. The modest retail sales figure suggests consumers may be growing more cautious about spending, which could slow economic growth in the current quarter. News time is 8:09.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness,
social isolation.
impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, James Carey, age 75 of Atlantic, died Sunday in Omaha. A funeral mass for James Carey will be today at 10 o'clock at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic is in charge of arrangements. Norma Jean Oldehoff, age 84 of Walnut, died Tuesday. Graveside services for Norma Oldehoff will be held today at 11:30 in the Layton Township Cemetery at Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Michael John McDonald, age 56, of Harlan, died Sunday in Harlan. Funeral services for Michael McDonald will be today at 1 o'clock at the Abundant Life Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Eugene Frederick Rasmussen, age 77, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Eugene Rasmussen will be today at 2 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Jewel Catherine Sweeney of Adair died Sunday in Illinois. A massive Christian burial service for Jewel Sweeney will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Adair. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. 77-year-old Glenn David Halsey of Guthrie Center died Wednesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Glenn Halsey will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Gertrude Weeks, age 90, of Fort Dodge and formerly of Manila, died Saturday in Fort Dodge. Funeral services for Gertrude Weeks will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Bonnie Ritchie, age 60, of Exira, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Bonnie Ritchie will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Byron Bauer, age 86, of rural Bridgewater, died Saturday. Funeral services for Byron Bauer will be on Sunday at 2:30 at the Cumberland Community Building. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Marcella Watson, age 96, formerly of Minden, died Tuesday in Omaha. Celebration of life services for Marcella Watson will be held in late November at the Shelby Methodist Church. Details are pending. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Michael Schilberg, age 29, of Greenfield, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Michael Schilberg are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.